From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to this Friday edition of Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in, as today we return once more to John chapter 17 to conclude our study of Christ praying in the valley of death. I trust you'll stay with us as we take time once more to look into God's Word together. We start off with our hot topic for today, and I think that it's one we should all pay attention to. The Bible is America's favorite book. Or is it? According to a recent Harris poll, America's favorite book is the Bible. It topped the poll in all categories, but there were a lot of differences in people's second choice. Harris reports as follows. Across all demographic groups, the number one book is the Bible. Behind the Bible, the Civil War is still being fought as Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind comes in second. Fantasy and a bit of fear round out the top five favorite books of all time. In at number three is J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series. At number four is that other fantasy series, J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books. In fifth is one of the masters of scary books, Stephen King's The Stand. Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird, Dan Brown's Angels and Demons, Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, and J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye rounded out the top 10 favorites. Men chose Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, and women selected Gone with the Wind as their second favorite book. In the 18 to 31-year-old class, Harry Potter came second, while 32 to 43-year-olds named The Stand, and Dan Brown's Angels and Demons as their runners-up. There were other differences according to region, but all across the country, the Bible came out as the nation's favorite book. The Bible, America's favorite book. You've got to be kidding me. Or at least somebody must be kidding. Now, I'm glad that there are millions of people across America who love and read the Bible. I believe they're the backbone of the nation. But that most people have it as their favorite book is incredible. Here are a few troubling facts that lead me to believe that many people answered not really truthfully, but as they knew they ought to answer. How many people, even Bible-believing Christians, have ever read the whole Bible? Surprisingly few claim to have done so. How many people, even Bible-believing Christians, read the Bible every day, or frequently and regularly? Again, surprisingly few. How many people have a good working knowledge of the Bible? How many could open the Bible and show an inquirer what the Bible teaches on any of the great subjects with which it deals? How many people actually seek to obey the Bible? How can it be that the Bible is America's favorite book, when across the nation there is such a widespread ignorance of or indifference to what the Bible commands us to do? Then look at the rest of the list of favorites. It's inconceivable that anyone could truly value the Bible and make J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter their next favorite book. How could anyone value the Bible and make the work of atheist Ayn Rand another favorite, or Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code? The thing's incredible. I believe that this Harris poll tells us more about what most Americans would like to be true of themselves But what they know is not true of them. They know that the Bible is God's Word. They know they ought to read it and love it. They know they ought to hear its sublime message. They know these things, but knowing and doing are very different things. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That puts a very different complexion on this national profession to make the Bible our favorite book. The Bible is there to be read, to be believed, and to be obeyed. To have it and neglect it is a terrible sin. Spurgeon once spoke of people's Bibles sitting on the shelf unread. He said, you could trace the word damnation in the dust on its cover. The Lord says in Hosea 8 verse 12, I have written unto him the great things of my law, and they were counted as a strange thing. Make sure you do more than profess to love the Bible. Love it, learn it, and live it. Otherwise, you're kidding yourself to say it's your favorite book.
Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am, mine to chide me when I wrong, mine to show
As you heard at the top of the broadcast, Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and this program originates in Greenville, South Carolina. If you'd like to be in touch with us, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We now turn one more time to John chapter 17 to continue to look at Christ praying in the valley of death, praying particularly for his people. And we're seeing how he prays for their safety, their unity, their purity, and their security. And finally, then, how he sets us an example as to how to pray. Without a spiritual unity, there is no ground for an organizational unity. But what's the key to this unity? What's the key to it? I have given them thy glory. The glory that you gave to me, I gave to them. Now, what on earth does that mean? What is that glory? Theologians, scholars, commentators, they dispute about it. Calvin says it's the image of God. I think Calvin's the greatest of commentators and theologians, but I think that he's dead wrong there. At least, it doesn't get to the heart of it. Others say it's the authority that Christ had, he gave to them. Others say it's the power to work miracles he gave to his apostles. And so on, you can keep on going, what it means. I think that one very ancient interpretation is hitting right at the heart of it. The glory is a reference to the Holy Ghost, who is, as Peter says, the Spirit of God and of glory. And you know, what is the image of God in your life? What is the authority? What is the power to do this or that? It is all the working of the Holy Ghost. The key to unity in the Church of Christ is a glorious experience of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. It can never be replaced with organization. It's interesting, you know, that the more the Holy Ghost is excluded, the more organized the church becomes. You ever notice that? You know, really, the early church didn't have, and by the way, I'm not picking on these groups. I'm not against organization. I'm just against organization that takes the place of the Holy Ghost. But you know, the early church did not have youth groups. It didn't have college and career groups. It didn't have this group, that group, or the other group. Do you know what the early church had? Do you know what the early church had? It had prayer meetings. It had preaching meetings. And then it had more prayer meetings. And then it had more preaching meetings. And then it had more prayer meetings. And so on and so on. And it had the glory of God and the fire of God and the unity of the Spirit. That's what it had. God moved the world. But the more we lose the power and the glory and the moving of the Holy Ghost, the more we put things in place, mechanisms to make it look like we're doing something when all the time we're doing nothing. That's the reality. And if you want a simple summation of church history, that's it. That's it. Oh, how we need the glory. How we need the glory. But men and women, we may have that glory because Christ prayed for us. He says, I have given them your glory in order that they may be one. He prayed for our purity, verses 15 through 17. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. Christ is looking for a pure church, and he's praying for a pure church. And then in one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible, he prays for our security. Verse 24. Remember, just a few months ago, using this verse, talking to Beth Lancaster about it as she was lying, waiting to die. I said, Beth, you know Christ's view of death. Therefore, a Christian's view of death.
This is what it is. The death of a Christian is simply Jesus saying, Father, I want that person whom thou hast given me to be with me where I am. That's all death is. It's all it is to a Christian. Father, that man, for the keys of death and the grave are in the hands of the Savior. I want that man, that woman, that little one. I want them with me. That's why one old preacher, when he lay dying, he said, I have thought of as an enemy all these years that which is really my friend. For death to me is going to be with Christ. But what's the security? Jesus says, I will. I will. I will. That is not a mere expression of wish. That, my friend, is an expression of a sovereign purpose that can never be overthrown. Father, I will have these people in heaven with me. I will. That he prays for our security, our certain entrance into glory. My time is gone, but I leave this with you, that in all these praying, all this praying, the Lord Jesus is an example to us. As to attitude in Gethsemane, submission and passion. And if I had time to preach on prayer this morning, my friend, those are two of the most absolute necessities in prayer. Submission, not my will, but thine be done. And passion. Passion. Praying with burden, with feeling. Praying is not making a speech to God. I know that there is a simplicity in prayer, and I know when you read the life of George Mueller that we're told his praying was so childlike. It was just like a child talking to his father. I don't know the inner life of George Mueller, but I want to tell you there's a whole lot more to your praying and mine than making speeches to God. There is a time when you get alone with God. There is a time when prayer costs you everything. There is a time when it will go to the depths of your being. It will dredge out of you every last ounce of energy. There is a time when it will prostrate you before your God, and you will have to pray with passion, or you will never pray at all. It's the attitude. His purpose, the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. The salvation of his people and the testimony of his name, as the end of verse 23 makes clear. Men and women, these are the things to pray for. And if he prayed for the saints, should not we pray for the saints? Here's the purpose and the persistence. In every case, he prayed till he got the answer. Pray without ceasing, Paul says. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, Jesus says. Here's our pattern as to how to pray, what to pray for, whom to pray for, why to pray, for the glory of God and the success of the gospel. But most of all, at least as far as today's subject is concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ is the guiding light to us, his people, as to how to approach death in the spirit of prayer. How do you do that? Let me put it these two ways. Pray in life as you would want to be able to pray in death. And then pray in death in the same way and for the same things that you prayed for all your life. And you can be assured that the Father's ear is open to the cry of all his praying people. We have a great Savior. I trust that you'll get some sight of Him this morning and that He'll stir your heart to pray. Let's bow our heads and seek the Lord's face as we bring the service to a conclusion this morning. Before I close with the meeting with prayer, let me ask you where you stand with God. You one of those people that sought to make a convenience of God? Sounds spiritual when you get into trouble, but there's no praying heart there. Men and women, it's time to seek the Lord seriously and seek Him until you find Him. And if you are not saved, Dr. Barrett and I are here as your servants for Christ's sake. We invite you to come and seek the Lord. We'll be happy to take the time to point you Christward. Father in heaven, we bless Thee for such a Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. O God, our Father, give us a sight of Christ. How we thank Thee, we can say with the old hymn, I have a Savior who's pleading in glory. A dear, precious Savior, though earth friends be few. Lord, we thank Thee for the intercession of Christ. Hear Him, we pray. And, O Lord, we ask Thee, keep through Thy name Thy people. Grant us the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Grant us the purity of life that Christ prayed for. Grant us, O Lord, to enjoy the security that belongs to the people of God. Make us a praying people. Lord, teach me to pray. We especially ask Thee for the return of the glory. How often we've been made to think of Ezekiel's vision of the departing glory. Oh God, we pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. We pray for the marvelous manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we know our need is great, but thank God Thou art able to meet it. Save souls and set Thy people ablaze with the love of Christ. Visit Thy church today with the spirit of revival. And Thou partest with Thy blessing and be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church both this Sabbath day and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony.
it's available to all who request it. If you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.